And now may the words that I speak and the meditations of our own hearts always be pleasing and always be acceptable unto you, for you are my Lord, you are my rock, and you are my gracious and holy Redeemer. Amen. Well, we know that today is All Saints Sunday, a time to remember all of our loved ones. And it is a time to remember the God of the living. And so we have this tradition of All Saints Day and then followed by All Souls Day. But eventually the church had decided to shift gear and to celebrate All Saints Sunday because of the grace that God has given to all of those who have died and have now received their eternal reward in heaven. We belong to that one body in Christ, and the continuing story of all of the saints, and the scripture says all of the clouds of witnesses who have gathered to receive the good news of what Christ has done. It is the good news of the gospel. And according to St. Paul, it is the hope to which we cling to. This is the hope that we have as God's people today. But you see, in our daily living, there's a lot of people trying to figure out, what is this kind of hope? Is this a temporary hope? Is this an eternal hope? Is this the hope that I can claim for myself and then hoard this hope for my very own? So a lot of people, even today, continue to struggle what it means. It is often very difficult to navigate, you know, the complexity of our daily living. And more importantly, it is very difficult to complicate the complex grief that sometimes extend beyond the normal period of our mourning. Now, once in a while, I hear the word closure, and I think it is a beautiful term, and I think it is a very compassionate term, trying to find closure in the midst of our human predicament. But what we realize is that navigating our world today is very difficult, and it is very challenging. But the good news is, most of the time, we figure out, isn't it? We figure out how to live our lives in the presence or in the absence of our loved ones. When that happens, the grief that we have is not completely gone or forgotten, but instead it is reshaped and it is transformed. I read something very beautiful in another expert in this field. It says there is a neural recycling. The brain finds a way to offer new pathways and possibilities. But that's science speaking. But in the way of Scripture, it says God is making a new thing. It's a beautiful and a wonderful thing. Look at, for example, the book from the Revelation. It is a new heaven and a new earth coming down like a bride adorned to meet his bridegroom. A new heaven and a new earth. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so the scripture says that God rescued creation itself, not some parts of creation, but instead the whole of God's creation. It's interesting to note that when God sends us forth, there are no roadmaps. I wish there are roadmaps, isn't it? So that we can navigate our own way. When God told Abraham to go, he just said, go, and I will make you a new nation. When Elijah battled, for example, the forces of evil on Mount Carmel, God simply said, go, and I will take care of you. And even going out from Mount Carmel into the cave where he was fed by the ravens and from the flour and the simple oil from the widow in that cave. When Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, God simply said, go. When Jesus said, go and make disciples, it simply says, go and make disciples. And so I like the scripture because the scripture says, the elements of our own faith are trustworthy and true. And when we say they are trustworthy and true, they are really the essence of what we believe and what we proclaim. And so John had this particular vision in the book of Revelation in the island of Patmos in Greece. And when I Googled the island, it's really picturesque. And I think it's some place that all of us should go when we have the opportunity one way or another. But I am not sure whether the island of Patmos is the way it is described today. I think it was a very difficult place. I think it was a lonely place. And perhaps John also had this dark night of his own soul when he tried to figure out what God is speaking to him at this particular point in history. You know, I was told that we have excellent movies lined up in this season. And I think because the Oscars are coming up, people are just kind of prone to watching new movies. But whenever I watch movies, I find it difficult to understand trilogies. Do you have difficulty understanding trilogies? Sometimes my mind doesn't follow the story. Especially after the end of the trilogy, when there's a teaser at the very end, and you know that there is something more that's going to come. You know, they call it prequel. It's a literary device. It is a literary device by focusing on the events that occur before the original narrative. In other words, it's a background story. So after you have watched three stories, there's another story. It's a prequel. But someone says a prequel is also a sequel to the prequel. So you get it, right? A prequel is a sequence to the sequels because they expand the original work. So my brain cannot accommodate these complex things. But John was saying the original story was restored by God. A new vision of a new earth and a new heaven. I like the hymn where it says, in our end is our beginning, in our time, infinity. In our doubt, there is believing, in our life, eternity. Unrevealed until its season, only God alone can see. So this morning, as we give thanks for All Saints Sunday, as we light candles of remembrances for our loved ones, it invites us really to dig deeply. What does it mean when we light a candle of remembrance? I like the way the book of Proverbs described our soul. The book of Proverbs described our soul as a candle. You know, when the candle flickers back and forth, that's what the candle soul, according to the book of Proverbs, says. It flickers back and forth because it communicates to the very essence of our God. So in remembering, we are profoundly blessed because God is always doing a new thing. We cling to the hope that awaits us in the faith, and the narrative of faith that we have received is very good and essentially good. It is trustworthy, it is true, and it is worth sharing to all the people that we meet. As we recall the names later on this morning, we are prayed for by the psalmist. And the psalmist simply said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, precisely in the image of a loving God. Amen.